Hibbing is our community of interest in this edition of Let's Visit. I'm Katie Carter, your host. Leonard Hirsch moved to Hibbing in 1959. If you were listening earlier in the hour, you would have found out that he was sitting in the audience in those moments when Bob Zimmerman, now known as Bob Dylan, was booed off the stage at the Hibbing High School auditorium. Leonard graduated from Hibbing High School and eventually retired from his career as a researcher for a mining company and has remained in the Hibbing area since. He is a historian and he volunteers his services and time at the Hibbing Historical Society, which is where I caught up with him. You're a historian. Is that what you did?
No. I was a senior research lab tech at a mining research lab here in town.
Okay. Well, you know a lot about Hibbing history. Is there a particular kind of like span of time that you find most fascinating about Hibbing's history?
It has all different phases. I mean, all of which are very interesting. I mean, when you stop and look at, they're living in tar paper shacks and tents, starting up the mines, headframes going down by hand. You know, that's one time period. It's hand-to-mouth existence, but they're putting iron ore down the rails already. And then that just expands, and then the equipment gets bigger, and they can find more ore bodies. And moving the town, that's an intriguing concept.
It was a boom town. Everything was happening in Hibbing. It's just
right.
Fascinating. Right. And very, I would, you know, with the multicultural piece of it, cosmopolitan. When I visited Hibbing a couple of weeks ago, I was really surprised at all the activity around town. There were people coming and going, and the parking spots were filled in the streets. I was impressed with all the different specialty shops and restaurants and bars. There's a brewery. It just seemed like a really busy town.
If you thought it was busy when you went downtown, just picture, say, 11 o'clock at night on Howard Street, where the State Theater used to be, which is just a few, what buildings did you look at? Did you go through the downtown?
Yeah.
Okay, or are you familiar with it'd be called Howard Court now?
Okay.
Big brick building across from, I don't even know what they call that, by Borealis Art Guild. Did you look at that
yes,
at all?
Yes, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Those buildings, that area, that was the hub. That was 3rd Avenue and Howard Street. Okay, I don't think it's busy because I'm from the days when on 3rd and Howard they had no left turn signs on top of the stop signs. Those stoplights had the signs on top of them that would be on during the shift changes, 3, 7, and 11. The other side of the street before they tore it down was the State Theater. It was in the middle where another bank used to be. It's office buildings now. So anyhow, at that time, and then JCPenney's was down on the corner where Goodwill is, and around the corner was Joe Kitchen's popcorn stand or wagon. Okay, picture 11 o'clock at night in the summer. All of the street would be packed with people, all the way up around 1st Avenue, all the way down to the other side of the Belmonts, loaded with people. The stores would be just shutting down. People would be coming out of the restaurants, going in the restaurants, and the theater would be, people would be lined up around the corner still buying popcorn that they ate on the way to the theater because that's how busy the theater was.
Oh, my gosh.
And then at 11 o'clock, the lights would come on top of the signs because it's shift change from North Hibbing, and they're coming down from the Scranton, the Albany, the Webb, and the businesses also that were associated with that up in North Hibbing, or what was left of North Hibbing at the time. Mm. And that had all be coming down through that intersection.
Is this 1950s, would you say?
1959, 1960. That's when I first came up here.
Okay, 59 to 60. That is Leonard Hirsch. He moved to Hibbing, Minnesota in 1959. He is a historian and currently works as a volunteer at the Hibbing Historical Society, where I caught up with him. I can't figure out, maybe you can help me, how did the immigrants get to, do you know how word spread that there were jobs way up in northern Minnesota?
Right. Well, it first started out with the Welsh,
okay.
The English, because they were familiar with underground mining. But that number rapidly ran out, and so then they just started experimenting, bringing in different groups, like from Finland, from Germany, from Greece. Serbia, Croatia, and it just, that's how they all ended up here. I remember reading W.C. Agnew's journal and his evaluation of the different, like the Irish were prone to fighting, but really hard working when they weren't fighting. Germans were ready to party at any moment, but they were very hardworking, industrious. And the Finns, they got blacklisted right away because they wanted to unionize. Yeah, so you kind of pick up little vignettes like that as you go through reading old journals and stuff.
But prior to the iron mining,
It was logging.
It was logging.
So you had a lot of French in the area. Mm. For some reason, it seemed like the French liked the log. And it might have come down from Quebec, I don't know, from Canada.
Boy, Hibbing just really was a melting pot.
Well, when you stop and look, we got a pit now roughly 8.5 miles long and about 3.5 miles wide. And it runs, I think, around 700 or 800 feet at the deepest.
Leonard is referring to the Hull Rust open pit iron mine. It is the largest open pit iron mine in the world. He also had an interesting story about life before it was the open pit.
A friend of mine, where they graduated from school, and he and his buddy went underground over by Kelly Lake. That had to be around 1912. It was all honeycombed with underground already, and before they went open pit. And he and his, I wish he was still around so I could ask him more intelligible questions now. But anyhow, the goal was to get over to Chisholm underground without coming up. That's how honeycombed the area was. So it took them 10 days.
And they did it?
And they did it, yep. And the only area he was really scared in was in the Scranton area. It would be in the Rust Cellars area of Penobscot where it was apparently so active they told him it was too dangerous to go through there because there was too much activity going on. But they gave him a route that they could follow through the Scranton area. And they got into this, it was just an area that had been mined out, but it was just the sugar sand type ore. Mm-hmm. And how it was deposited back when it was formed. And anyhow, they're crawling through this area, and all they got for light is candles on their helmets. And his hand rolled on something, he backed up, looked, and here was a bone going into a boot. Well, on further exploration, it turned out this whole room was full of these skeletons. And back in those days, if a guy was killed underground, unless he had family or friends up on the surface, they didn't waste the money to haul up a dead body. They just shoved him off to the side. I've been here since 59, except for a 2-year stint in the Army.
Were women in the home while the men were out working the mines?
Well, women had jobs already, too. In fact, my mother got a job at Herberger's, which was on the corner of what is now called Howard Court. But they had the strike. We moved up here in the middle of the steel strike, so it was quite barren at that time. But it picked up once the steel strike was over. And, of course, that's when Herberger's left, too. Because of the steel strike,
okay.
Or the strikers there sabotaged my mother's boss's car. They threatened our family too, and my dad's boss, and because my mother was working at Herberger's.
Wow, that's pretty cutthroat.
Well, it was brutal. Yeah, they burned. Well, it was done or over with when they burned. They sugared his car first, and then the next car they burned it in his driveway and left notes saying your family and house will be next. And that's when Herberger Corporation. So that's it. We're leaving Hibbing, and they went to Virginia.
That's Leonard Hirsch. He's a historian, and he also worked in a lab as a researcher for a mining company. So you really kind of know on a deep level about what happens in a mine.
And that's no pun intended.
I'm curious to know, since you have such a history there, what you think the future looks like for Hibbing.
Well, it's another spot. I mean, it's just, you know, I look in my lifetime how things have changed over. I mean, I got my education in the Hibbing High School here. And what I learned there, I put to use at the jobs that I had. And those opportunities just aren't here anymore. The whole industry has changed. That's the problem. I mean, our future is mining, but you got to keep the mining going.
So they're still mining a whole lot over there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It just... Because of innovations and equipment and everything and automation, you just don't need the people that you had before.
Mm.
I mean, I came up here in 59. It was red ore days. every little red ore pit had a couple hundred men working for them. Mm. Well, you just don't have that anymore.
Right.
They're still producing the steel tonnage, but with a fraction of the number of men needed. Well, there's iron under us yet. It's just down very deep.
Okay.
And they're not, I'm sure somebody someplace has probably mapped it out. It's just not out for public viewing. Yeah, I mean, to the extent or quality of the ore body. Right now, probably the most pressing need now would be the going after the precious metals, the copper, zinc, platinum, palladiums. That's what the polymet issue is all about.
That is Leonard Hirsch. Leonard lives in Hibbing, and he retired from being a researcher in a lab for one of the mines. He's now a historian and spends much of his time at the Hibbing Historical Society. In addition to iron mining, the Hibbing area has produced chopsticks, funded the Pillsbury Empire, and was birthplace to the Greyhound Bus Company.
That's another good story.
Yes. And
of course, we also had streetcars, and the buses were competing with the streetcar. Eventually, the streetcar went out of business.
A big thanks to Leonard Hirsch for taking the time to talk about Hibbing history. He knows so much, and it was so fun to sit and talk with him. You're listening to Let's Visit on Northern Community Radio. I'm Katie Carter.